I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu. And we're joined, as always, by our very own Jamie Jors and John Rahor of our fan blog, Eat More Cheese, exclusively here at Cheesehead TV, along with Holly Phelps from BrentFarve.com, and a whole host of other characters. Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Well, exactly what happened happened. What you thought would happen happened. We are pleased to welcome NFL Network's own Michael Lombardi back on Packer Transplants later this evening. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Randall Cobb.
What a perfect situation this kid has found himself in.
Aaron Rodgers.
Super Bowl MVP set to take it to the next level with a no-huddle offense.
Morgan Burnett.
Answering the critics who say he's not physical enough.
And we got the bad. We got Jarrett, my man, Bush.
Move him to safety, Mike. Move him to safety.
Marshall Newhouse.
Want to give him a pass for having been on the left side all camp, but on the right side, not looking so good, buddy.
And Shaky Smithson.
Okay, so, yeah, this is what I was talking about the whole let's watch him actually catch a punt and run a route in a game before we anoint him the next Devin Hester.
And we got the ugly. We got Pat Lee.
Pat, buddy, I'm a fan. Always have been. I've really wanted you to succeed over the past several years. But, buddy, turn your head. Just turn your head. The ball's right there. Turn your head. That's all I ask.
Sorry, I had to check the audio on
that's
that.
That's because what you do. Packer Transplants is back, baby.
Whoa.
Corey Banky.
That's insanity.
How the heck are you?
Insanity.
Welcome back, Corey Banky.
I can't. She's like, turn your head. I see Jamie on the live blog saying, turn your head.
Turn your head, Corey.
Yeah, the problem is I put
we're
the monitor.
Here.
I put
I know,
the monitor I need
there,
right there.
But we're over here.
I'm going to put it right there.
Our adoring public and our haters are over there.
What's up? What's up, Packer Nation?
How are you, folks? Thanks for tuning in to Woo. Packer Transplants' first episode of the new 2011 season. Packers looking to repeat as champions of the NFL. Speaking of champions of the NFL, if you did not see it today on CheeseheadTV.com, America's Game, the fantastic program produced by NFL Films and NFL Network, will be premiering the Packers 2010 version of America's Game on September 7th, the night before the Packers meet the Saints for the NFL kickoff there on Thursday night. Check that program out. America's Game, if you haven't seen it, it's unbelievably fantastic. They have one for the 96 team. It's just great. And you have to if you do not have NFL Network, invade the home of someone who does.
Yeah, I don't have it.
That evening. Because it's just a fantastic program. They do a fantastic job.
You know,
and it features Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, and Charles Woodson with exclusive interviews only for this program, along with highlights and stories from the entire year. You have to check it out. It's fantastic.
You're one of these people that like to rub it in that you have NFL Network.
Well, I don't know about all that. I do enjoy my NFL Network, though.
I have to learn this whole switching thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not noticed, Corey Banky has just like totally reconfigured the studio. So everything's very, we could, you know, it's a Packer Transplant show. We could shut down
it really
at any
is.
Moment.
It's
you
the
know,
preseason.
Everything. It's preseason at it's Packer preseason. Transplants 2.
It really.
That's all I'll say.
You have to realize it's the preseason. I woke up the night of the morning of the Browns game.
Yes.
And I realized I didn't know if Jamie was going to run the live blog. I knew nothing. But you know what? Everybody stepped up, and it was.
You've been busy.
Preseason, baby.
You've been busy.
Preseason.
You know, wait. You know how preseason it is? Let me just explain to you how preseason it is around here. I totally forgot to put up a good, bad, and the ugly post after the Browns game, which I only realized when I was writing the script for this evening.
It's funny. But
that's it. I totally forgot. It's preseason for everybody.
But you realized, it was very bizarre because you posted a game day post.
I know.
And thus game day posts at Cheesehead TV are born.
Are born. It's a new thing. On game day, first thing in the morning, come to cheeseheadtv.com. We will have a game day post with all the information you will ever need about game day, which will also include our live blog that will be active during the game. And then on some days, not every day, but on some games, Brian Caravu will host his post-game show live after the game. It's just a great way to meet other fans, talk to other fans, tons of other Packer fans from around the world. Let's stress that, around the world. Joining you here, right here on Cheesehead TV.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Dude, let's talk about Aaron Nagler.
No, let's not.
On.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Channel 11. What is going on? Fox 11.
I know, Fox 11 giving me a little love.
Getting a little love.
A little love from the site. It was nice. It's nice.
Did I hear a rumor? Johnny Gray likes Cheesehead TV.
That's what I hear. I've heard Johnny Gray likes the site. Nothing wrong with that. No, nothing wrong with that at all.
I was liking that.
Yeah, I'm doing weekly spots for Fox 11's training camp report, which is great. Drew Smith and Johnny Gray hosting it. They do a great job. And I've been on twice, and I'll be on a couple more times.
I like it. I like it when Wisconsin talks about you.
Yeah, it's good. It's a little tug from the homeland. Although somebody on the Fox 11 live blog last night said, really, you're going to put up this East Coast guy again? You should get that Jason Wild. That's a true story. True story.
Jason Wild.
Get Jason Wild.
Who's that?
I don't know. Maybe he's related to Jason Wilde, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we're back. Before we go any further, we have to say adieu. We have to say adieu.
Wow.
To a couple Packers who are no longer Packers. Will always be Packers.
It was insane how quick that went. It was like 1 week you're a Packer.
And next week you're not.
Later.
And of course, you all know who we're talking about. We're talking about Colin Jenkins, Nick Barnett, Darren College, Brandon Jackson.
Mm.
All these gentlemen have signed with other teams. But we know where your heart is. We know you're Packers for life. You could say you took the money. You went someplace else. The Packers didn't want you. Like, whatever. You know, you're Packers for life. You're Super Bowl champion Packers for life.
There you go.
And I didn't want to talk too much about this, but I do want to get this on the record live here on the air, also on our podcast. So it's archived for all the world to hear. I just have to say, all right. Slide back and listen to the news here. The fact that the Packers did not invite the guys who are signed to other teams, such as Darren College, Colin Jenkins, Brandon Jackson, etc., is beyond absurd. It's beyond absurd. The fact that guys like, you know, the rookies got to go to the White House and meet Obama and meet the president is ridiculous. Now, this has been hashed out.
That is kind of ridiculous.
It's been hashed out ad nauseum here. So I'm, you know, the blogosphere. So I'm not going to belabor the point. But
it's ridiculous.
Just had to say that. It's ridiculous.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It's here. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
I just saw it. We got the Dick Chang gong. I broke
as,
it.
As Corey breaks it and everything else
that
along
good.
With it. But ladies and gentlemen, the Dick Chang gong was in the house.
There it was.
There it was. Knocked it off its pedestal. The Dick Chang gong is no more, but it was there for one.
I did not mean to do that.
For right. one whole hit, the wow. Dick Chang gong lived. For those of you who are unaware, Dick Chang was a regular Cheesehead TV viewer, reader, subscriber who was in the studio. He lives in California, but he was in the studio last year for a week. You know, he came into New York and said, hey, guys, I'd like to check out the show. And we said, sure, because that's what we do. We meet people on the internet. We never meet them in real life, and then we invite them into the studio.
Yep.
Watch a show.
Yeah.
But Dick came along, and he loved it. Richard Chang, of course, it's Dick Chang. And so we said every time that Dick Chang came on the show, we had to have a gong. We had to have a Dick Chang gong.
So he sent us one.
Corey was. And here it is. He sent us the Dick Chang gong.
Wow.
And he's here tonight. So thanks, Dick. Thanks for checking out the show. We love
it. Oh, he's sending us a new one. He says that sounds too much like a bell.
It does sound like a bell, buddy, but that's what you sent us. You know.
There you go.
We work with what we got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this is the Greg Bedard siren.
Bedard siren is no more.
It's retired.
It's retired. Currently. Absolutely. So what's new around Cheesehead TV? We've got a ton of stuff. Ton of stuff.
Let's talk about the new blog.
We've got Eat More Cheese with Jamie and John. People, if you are not checking out Eat More Cheese,
you need
to do it daily. Because goodness knows, if there's something you need more in your life, it's more Packer fans talking about the Packers. Because this is no denying the fact that every Packer fan needs more Packer fans in their life talking about the Packers. And that's what you get at Eat More Cheese.
Yep.
And Jamie and John are just fantastic. They're prolific. They're posting every day. Check it out. If you have not yet, go to cheeseheadtv.com after the show is over. Click on the Eat More Cheese tab. You can check out all their stuff. It's great. It's all about being fans of the Green Bay Packers and some, you know, tangential stuff. But overall, fantastic Packers talk all the time, 24/7 from two, and may I just say, two of the most die-hard Green Bay Packer fans ever have the pleasure of meeting.
Oh, yeah. I have met. Hung out with.
We've met them.
Experienced.
Not everyone has.
Experienced the life of a Packer fan with these people. Ridiculousness times.
Another fantastic
good
addition
times.
To Cheesehead TV, which you may or may not know about.
Finally! Hello!
Is this the addition.
It only took him a year. The best thing that ever happened to Packer Chatters, okay?
It's true.
It's the best thing. And we took it.
Is the addition of CD and Jelly. You may know him as Mr. Tundravision. CD is just a fantastic writer. Corey and I have been talking to him for the past year about coming on board.
We've been trying to tease him.
He's
hard to do.
He's wonderful. He's amazing. You're going to love his writing. Check him out. He's going to be posting every during the season. He'll be posting every Sunday morning during the regular season. Kind of like, you know, the pulse of Packer Nation, as it were. You know, a must read on the Sunday mornings on game day. CD has got a very considered take on all things Packers. As he likes to say, he writes a lot about a little.
Definitely.
He'll take a subject and really expand on it. You need to check it out. CD's fantastic. Love his writing. We're so happy to have him on board.
And then, who would have thought? A Jets fan
fan writing for a Green Bay Packers blog.
Wow.
It's true. Andrew Garda has come on board as our NFL correspondent. Andrew, I love his work. He's written for a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people. I don't know if you can show that on this show, dude. I think the camera might burn. It may boil.
Oh, yeah.
As you show it.
I got the. That's nice, though. So. That's for Andrew.
There you go. It's a nice Jets poster.
Yikes.
But Andrew Garda, our NFL correspondent, he's my co-host with the Mo-host on The Hard Count, which he's been flying solo for the last couple of weeks. But after, I think once the preseason's over, I'll be joining him again. But check out the podcast. Check out his posts. All the coverage you can want from the NFL. He's got the latest takes, all of his unique, interesting takes on the NFL. You'll want to check that out. And that's what we're all about. This is Cheesehead TV. It's all NFL. It's all Packers all the time.
Yep.
And that's what's new here around the site. How are you, Corey?
I'm good.
Now, be honest. Did you watch the preseason game against Cleveland?
Of course.
Okay.
I was on the live blog. I was on the live blog with the peeps.
There weren't
a lot of trolls.
There weren't?
Everybody,
or there were?
No, there weren't.
Oh, that's
we're
good.
Not.
That's good.
Dude,
that's a good start.
Jamie's got that down. She doesn't allow that.
She will not allow it to happen. That's good. So what did anything stand out for you in the Cleveland game? Anything good? Anything bad?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers looked like he was awesome. That's how I felt about that game.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the kind of incisive commentary you can expect.
It's preseason. What do you want, people? What do you want out of life?
Oh,
do you want to score a touchdown? Okay.
Now here comes Aaron Rodgers throwing the back shoulder.
Do we really care about the third string? I don't.
Do. See, there you go. And there it is. That is Cheesehead TV in a singular moment in time right there. That answer.
It's true.
Saying, do you know what? I care about the third string.
Nobody cares about the preseason. You know why? Because none of it matters.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that people forget about preseason, I think, quite a lot. Judging by the comments and some of the stuff on the live blog, I think what people forget about the preseason is that both teams are looking at very different things. They both come into the game with very different objectives.
True. Exactly. Exactly. Your objective is not to win the game.
No.
Your objective is to be an analyst, to be a director, to be like, you know what? I need to look at these dudes, so I don't really care. You don't even care about
Absolutely.
The score.
You could tell.
That is my point.
You could tell from watching the game that Pat Shurmur, the new Browns coach, really wanted to get a look at the tempo of his team, his first-string guys. Colt McCoy was in, I think, for three series, maybe even four. But he wanted to get a sense of tempo, a sense of, you know, a cohesion in the offense.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Mike McCarthy really wanted to look at individual performances. He wanted to look at guys. He wanted to look specifically at younger guys on the team who, you know, are fighting to make the squad. So
true.
You got lots of mixing and matching going on. You've got Matt Flynn in there, like, throwing to Smithson or Gurley or whoever. You know, it's just they're just coming at it from totally different points. Mike knows what his veterans can do. They've been together for a long time. Whereas on the Cleveland side, you know, this is a team with a new offense being installed and a new, you know, regime, as it were. So, you know, they're just coming at it from two totally different points.
Totally.
So, you know,
that's my point.
There's lots of stuff you can take from it. I was encouraged by
that's
the play.
That's my point.
I was encouraged by the play of Morgan Burnett, although it was a little disconcerting that he had to be shouted at by not Nick Barnett, RIP.
Were you Packers discouraged wife, by
Nick
Jared
Collins.
Bush? Be honest. Were you discouraged by Jared
No,
Bush?
I wasn't discouraged because I didn't expect anything else.
Well, dude, what about Wilde's comments today?
That was interesting. Well, it wasn't interesting. For those of you who don't know, this morning on Greening Gold Today, Bill Johnson read an email asking about my take on Jared Bush, which I wrote this morning. You can check it out here at cheeseheadtv.com. Saying that I think Jared Bush is benefiting in practice from having gone against the Packers offense so many times at corner. He knows the route combinations. He knows what's happening. He knows the receivers. He knows their tendencies. He knows. He just knows. So he's looked lights out. And all reports from camp, Tom Silverstein did a big write-up about him, about how great he's looked. It's like, yeah, he looks great. And then he goes into the Cleveland game and he looks lost. You know, he looks like he's like the Jared Bush of old.
Yeah.
And then, whoa.
He's third string,
magically,
dude.
Magically.
He's third string.
He's back to practice, and he's back to breaking up passes, looking
he's
great,
third string.
Intercepting balls. That he knows the offense. He's admitted that the play, the big interception he made in the Super Bowl was based off of film work. So, of course, he's done a lot of film work.
Dude.
And, like, in his mind, he's analyzed the Packers' route combinations. He knows what's happening.
You can analyze all day.
Oh, no. Here we
go. Okay?
Here we go.
It's like, you know what? It's like directing live television. You can direct and produce all day, okay? But do you have the passion to cross the finish line?
Now that he's speaking from professional experience.
That's all I'm saying.
All right,
do you have what it takes to get it done when the dealing needs to be done?
That's
all I'm saying.
I think Bush is a fantastic special teams player, and he should be a backup safety. All right, we need to go to break.
What?
Even though we were late. We need to go to break because we have to call our guest. Michael Lombardi from the NFL Network and Showtime's Inside the NFL.
Wow.
Yes. We'll be live on the line, providing everything works. And we know at Packer Transplants, that's a dubious proposition. But hopefully, flip side of this, we'll be talking to Michael Lombardi from the NFL Network next here on Packer Transplants. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. We are live on the line with Michael Lombardi. You may know him from NFL Network, NFL.com, or Showtime's Inside the NFL. Michael, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Great to be here, Aaron.
I just got to get this off my chest right away. Next time you're on Bill Simmons' BS report, tell him to get to the Packers a little quicker than, fourth or fifth string there. You know, you guys talked about the Pats and the Saints and the Eagles, the dream team, but Packers not getting any love nationally.
Well, you can't say that. Packers could just been to the White House. You can't get any more love than that nationally, so I think they do. You know, it's always, you know, when you're the king of the block, everybody's looking to see who could take them down. So I think, you know, and I think it's obviously, you know, New Orleans, the dream team I'm not buying yet, but I think New Orleans certainly is somebody that can be a good contention. But obviously Green Bay's got a lot of good players coming back.
Now, I know you liked the move the Saints made in the offseason, and it's a really intriguing matchup, you know, their week one, that Thursday night, big kickoff week. How do you see that game playing out? I mean, obviously, I don't need you to pick a winner, but a lot has been made during the lockout about the workouts the Saints did. The Packers didn't get together, and, you know, both teams kind of struggled on offense initially in the preseason, and then Rodgers went down for the touchdown. Breeze and the Saints didn't even get a first down, but how do you see that playing out in week one?
You know, it'll be fascinating. I think it'll be a game that will be, both teams will be able to get to the nickel rather quickly, you know, and Sean Payton likes to run the ball a little bit more, but I think he's going to probably figure he's going to need to try to stay in some base formation. So I think it'll be a great chess match between two teams that are really good on third down nickel defenses. And two quarterbacks that understand how to handle and pick up blitzes. So, you know, look, these early in the season, the month of September, you know, the better teams don't necessarily always win. It's always a situation where, you know, coming off of a off season, you know, you can do some things to masquerade it. So I think it'll be a great game, and I think it'll be a similar game in the sense I think two teams are very similar. The Saints can get to the nickel front and hold up because they got some big guys inside now, and I think obviously that's what the Packers have made a living on.
Do you think there'll be a lot? I mean, it seems every year that kickoff game is always a defensive affair. Do you think that holds up this year, especially with the lockout, the fact that the defenses will be ahead of the offense?
Well, you know, based on what I saw in the Saints' first game, you know, their receivers didn't look explosive. Now, it's early. Right. And, you know, last year their receivers weren't explosive. And I think whenever teams play a lot of man-to-man on them, they really weren't in that same flow that they were 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. So, and you could see the Packers. To me, I think the Packers will be better on offense. I think you could see that even when they got the rust off after the first drive, they started getting going, and I think that Mike knows what his team is. I think there's no sense that he's going to try to establish the run. He's going to establish the pass because that's what they do well.
What's your take on the brouhaha, if you will, of the kickoff change, the new kickoff rule? Lots been made about the returns or lack thereof and the touchbacks. You know, it depends, I guess, on which returner you have, but do you really think it's that big a deal? I mean, I know they've gone back essentially to where they already were for many years,
yeah,
as far as where
I
they're
do,
kicking off
think,
from.
I do. I think the kicker's legs are stronger. I think, you know, Green Bay, Chicago win's going to be a factor still. But in Detroit, you know, I think they probably won't see very many returns. Minnesota, they probably won't see very many because these guys can kick them. They're so strong. I mean, we saw it in the opening of the season. You know, the return game is so much a part of what Chicago did. They control vertical field position with their return game. The same thing with the Jets were able to do with their team. They were able to control vertical field position with their return. So, you know, when you can do that, and it really helps your offense, you know, the Packers are able to you know, they can move the ball against anybody. So whether they start on their own 10 or they start at midfield, you know, they can move the ball. Some of these offenses, like the Jets, for example, when Sanchez was struggling, he needed every ounce of field position he could get, and ultimately Brad Smith was able to get it for him. So I do think it'll play a factor in a lot of these teams that are set up that way.
Looking at the NFL in general, I mean, you look at, there's a lot been made about the continuity aspect of teams like the Patriots and the Colts and the Packers and teams that have been, who have A, elite quarterbacks, and B, have continuity not only in their program but with their players. How badly do you think some of these teams are going to fare, especially early on? I mean, when you look at the Carolinas, you know, teams with new coaches and new quarterbacks, do you think it's going to be really ugly early?
Yeah, I do. I think they'll struggle. I think there'll be some good, some bad, but I think continuity really when it's not about the other play, it's the quarterback, you know. And I think ultimately, look, you could just see it with Phillip Rivers, did what he did against the Seattle the other night, 95 yards, I think it was, right down the field. The continuities, he's got such a feel for his team. He knows his team well. I think same thing with Aaron Rodgers. I think he knows the receivers so well. They know him really well. So I think it does play, especially as the game speeds up and the bullets start flying very fast and the tempo of the game is so dramatically different. I think it really does. It really does kind of create a situation where if you're not really ready to go and you don't have that continuity, it's going to be difficult for you to move the football.
I know you took a lot of grief a couple weeks ago from not only the Texans fans, but the Texans themselves. Is that just like, how do you deal with that? I mean, I know, I mean, as a blogger, I get blowback, but that's like, you know, just a very infinitesimal, you know, amount compared to somebody who has a national platform like yourself. Is that just something you can shrug off as part of the job, or was this a little bit more than usual?
No, I think you have to say what you think, and I think, you know, there's a difference between being an evaluator at home and watch the games on Sunday to being a professional person that understands the game. And I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than everybody else, but I do know a little bit more. I've done it for a long time, and, you know, some of the comments that were coming back were so ridiculous, Aaron. I mean, to say, well, you know, we have the leading rusher, that's why we're physical. Come on, get reality. I mean, Green Bay ran the ball 10 times in the Super Bowl. Does that mean they're not physical? You know, I mean, so it just really shows. I think fans don't understand what it means to be physical, and I think they don't understand. They can't interpret it. You know, they go right to the running game because that's where they've been educated in terms of the running game. I mean, the first opening weekend of the season, I'm sure Tom Jackson will say whoever runs the ball well in this game is going to win. You know, and you and I both know that the running game doesn't really matter.
You said it, so. And I'm glad you did. Bringing it back to the Packers. When you were last on this show, you talked about growing the offensive line. And I think that's something that, you know, Ted Thompson has tried to, you know, subscribe to, especially with his last two first-round picks. But when you look at somebody like T.J. Lang, who sat on the bench for a couple of years and now seems poised to take over the left guard spot, why don't more teams do that? I mean, you see a lot of teams go out and sign guys in free agency, but it just seems so obvious that the best way to do it is to grow your own guys.
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, I watch these preseason tapes, and it just, I mean, guys that I know, you know, if you've been in the Bill Belichick program and you understand it, you have to learn how to grow a line. I mean, you can't sit there this time of the year and think you're going to be able to put together a good line. You have to have it planning. I mean, this time right now in my office when I was in Oakland or anywhere I've ever been in Cleveland, you know, I was worried about what my offensive line was going to be like in the next year. Did I have five players that I could develop and grow? And so, you know, the sixth lineman, maybe he's one, the seventh lineman. Now I've got to find for the practice squad. I've got to find all these other players because the only way you're going to evaluate your team in the preseason is to play five linemen that actually know how to play. You can't put five college free agents out there or else you won't get anything done. So it makes it very difficult, and I think that's what Green Bay, that's why you're able to have some success in the preseason, because you can evaluate other players if your line can play. You can't evaluate anybody if they can't.
What do you think, or what do you hear? You've been in management. You're obviously plugged in there. What is the consensus around the league about Ted Thompson? Because you hear a lot of things about, oh, he's a little arrogant, and, you know, he likes to prove it his way, and but then on the flip side, you see you hear what a great talent evaluator is. Is there a consensus around the league? I mean, obviously he's the king of the hill right now, but
right.
You know, what is the vibe or what is the overall take on Thompson and his approach as far as the Packers?
You know, my sense of it is, Aaron, and look, this is just from competing against him. Ted really knows who he is, and I think that he plays into his strength, which is the college draft, and he has really good people in his pro department with Elliott and Reggie. They do a great job of finding players in the preseason. I mean, they take Eric Walden off of Miami's team, you know, and Parcells really wanted to keep him. And the day Parcells left the building was when they cut him. And Green Bay was able to scoop him up, and Parcells had been trying to get him to play for his team. So they do a great job finding players, and Ted lets those guys do that. And they do a great job in the college draft with John Dorsey, does a great job. I mean, you know, when you watch their tape, it's really an effort. And I think Ted knows who he is. He doesn't want to get involved in spent a lot of money in free agency because that's not what he believes in for his locker room, which I think there's a lot of truth to that. There may be a time you have to do it, but there also may be a time you don't want to do it. So I think his reputation around the league is, hey, he's really good. He's going to build a team through the draft. He's going to have a young team. And I think he's got the right attitude for it. I mean, in this day and age with the new collective bargaining agreement, I mean, the Green Bay Packers will, you know, their team will make a lot of money because the deal will be good for them, and it'll be good for the players. It'll be good for finding young players. You got to have young talent on your team. You can't sign old players as backups. You know, you can't do that, or else you're not going to have them. And I think that he gets that.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi from NFL Network and Showtime's Inside the NFL. Michael, you're an absolute legend for joining us tonight. Before I let you go, two real quick things. First, do you think the Packers re-sign JerMichael Finley, provided he stays healthy this year, or do they let him test free agency?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that the one thing about the franchise tag on tight ends, it's not that expensive. I mean, it's expensive, but it's not. I think it depends on the level of impact that he makes on the team. I mean, you know, you sit there in your office and you won a Super Bowl without him, so you say, geez, can we be as good without him, and do we have to pay him all that money? And then you watch him play and you say, gosh, this guy's really a great player. He needs to get paid. And I think that's a dilemma. And I think the how he plays coming back off the injury is going to go a lot to it. But his impact in the game is very difficult to defend. I mean, Antonio Gates is finally healthy this year, and I think it'll make a huge difference in San Diego's offense. Right. When you get a tight end that can do what JerMichael can do, it's very difficult to defend. And I think that it's not that going to be that expensive in terms of the tight end market to keep him, because he's going to be able to keep the continuity between he and Rodgers. And I mean, look, Donald Driver's going to play a few more years. Jennings is still young. But I think this guy's going to play a lot longer, and I think that continuity will go a long way.
And secondly, do you think that Matt Flynn is a starting quarterback in the NFL? I mean, it's probably a foregone conclusion that he hits free agency next year. Maybe he gets a job. I don't think he's a starter. I don't think he looks like a starter. I know there's been a lot of talk of him being a starter somewhere down the line. What's your feeling there?
I don't think he is. I think they're clinging to the game in New England. If anybody wants to say he's a starter, and look, I don't think Kevin Cobb's a starter either. And, you know, he got a starting job.
Right.
So I was very clear about that. I thought that wasn't exactly going to be a situation where, you know, he was good. But I don't think Flynn is. I think he shows that he's really more of a backup. I don't think his arm can hold up. And I think what happens to guys a lot of times is you think they're starters because they play good in a game. But what you have to understand about a backup starting quarterbacks, they have to be strong in their lower body, and they got to be able to take the pounding and the punishment and their arm. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' arm gets stronger as the year goes on. That's critical. Because if it doesn't, some of those throws he can't get in there. And I don't know if Flynn can do that. So if I was in the league and I was looking for a quarterback as a starter, it would be more Brian Hoyer than it would be Matt Flynn.
Right. Michael Lombardi, NFL Network, Showtime's Inside the NFL. Michael, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You're an absolute legend.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Talk to you.
Have a great night. Mm-hmm. Michael Lombardi, joining us live here on Packer Transplants.
Nice.
Because that's what we do. We talk to people who know, because you don't want to listen to us talk about stuff we don't know. And Lord knows, we don't know a whole lot.
I really don't.
Corey, did that just blow your mind, the whole new system with Packer Transplants here?
Yeah.
I'm watching Corey frantically, like, pressing buttons and clicking things. And
it's fun.
You have no idea what's going on right now, do you?
I mean, I do. It just comes naturally, but it's a whole new experience here at Packer Transplants.
It really, for hopefully, everybody.
Hopefully, the viewers, they see nothing.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's kind of the idea.
They just hear it. They hear the drama.
They hear the drama. They don't see the drama. Wow. Wait. Okay. So let's talk a little Packers here, Corey.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk a little Packers.
All right.
Let's talk about the hurry up offense.
Kyle Cousineau, far from sleeping, bro.
Was it Kyle? Kyle?
Kyle's
Kyle,
like,
if you don't know Kyle,
dude, you were taking a nap. I'm like, seriously,
dude?
Was I taking a nap?
If you don't know Kyle, you need to get on that, because he is Mr. Green Bay. He is
Damn.
Mr. Packer. He is the bomb.
Look at the poster
biggity.
Behind you, by the way.
Right. Like, wait,
can we just talk
right
about?
There, right there. That poster. Snap.
Who
that
is that?
Poster is the hotness. Was passed out at the Packer shareholders
by,
meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks
Mr.
to Kyle
Cousineau. Arranging that to happen.
Oh, yeah. and Robert Hammond.
And Hammond, yes, who actually did the printing.
Let's get that
hotness
back there.
Right there. Anyway, if you don't know Kyle, follow him on Twitter. Somebody throw up his handle on the live blog.
Yeah, do it.
He's a must-follow for any Packer fan out there.
No, I know you're kidding, dude. I just had to call you out.
So, the no-huddle offense. How fantastic would it be if all of a sudden McCarthy, like, in his bid to just change it up, take it to the next level, cliche alert, you know, just started throwing the no-huddle offense out there, like, every two or three series.
So it's okay to use a cliche as long as you give the alert?
As long as you give the alert, it's fine. Okay. But, you know, like, Peyton Manning,
yeah,
Carson Palmer back in the day, like, how about that? How about Aaron Rodgers running a whole bunch of no-huddle this year? I love this idea. I think it's fantastic. And I think you might see a little bit of it. You saw it in Atlanta last year. You saw it a couple other times. Not too much, but you saw it as a changeup last year. I'm hoping. I don't have any inside information, obviously, but I'm hoping we see a whole lot of it and as a bit of a change of tactic. What's funny is I love the quotes coming from McCarthy and Philbin saying that it's a great changeup and it doesn't allow the opponent to get, you know, to adjust, to get the personnel on the field. Anybody who's played Madden knows this adjustment. I know Jersey Al's going to, like, yell at me right now for talking about Madden and NFL football, but it's true. Anybody who's played Madden knows one of the easiest ways to take advantage of a defense is get them in the base with your three wide or four wide, and then just no huddle it and
dude,
just don't let them substitute.
That sounds like the third Madden.
Yeah, kind of.
That's
it's kind of true.
That's like you have to be the stupidest defensive coordinator to go, oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. That's not good. So anyway, yes, I'm very excited for the no huddle.
Is it time to take a break?
Not quite. We got a couple minutes yet, and I want to get a few things more things in on the offense, and then we'll talk about the defense during the next segment. As far as the left guard position, I took a lot of heat, all right? First day of camp. First day of padded practice. I was there.
Yeah, you were.
Ray Nitschke Field. I came home, came to my parents' house, whipped out my laptop, and wrote a post that said, TJ Lang is your starting left guard. Like, hold up. TJ Lang is your starting left guard. And I got all sorts of grief. And even in the post, I said, I know it's trouble. It's, like, bad to extrapolate too much information from one practice. But people, come on. TJ Lang is your starting left guard. And, lo and behold, Mike came out today and said, oh, TJ Lang looks really good, and he's a little bit ahead of Derek Sherrard. You think? TJ Lang is your starting left guard. That's all I got to say.
Is that all you have to say?
No. Well, let me also just say this.
So.
It's not going to be a shock. It's not going to be a shock whatsoever to see the Packers keep five tight ends. I'm not predicting they will. I'm not saying that's a lock. But it will absolutely not be a shock. Keep me five tight ends.
That would not shock me. Listen, JerMichael Finley clip.
Yes.
That's a good segue.
Hey, let's do it. Everybody, look at this picture of JerMichael Finley, speaking of tight ends, and Aaron Rodgers. The one thing Aaron Rodgers cannot do this year is this. This is the biggest fear you have with JerMichael Finley getting back on the field. Now, notice, those of you listening on iTunes later, I'm sorry, but those of you watching live and later on the website, JerMichael Finley is there split. He's inside on the right, on the top there. And then, okay, run it again, which we will, I know. Watch how Finley is lined up. There's three wide, well,
all right, I'm queuing
two wide, whatever, on the top. And then Finley is in
here
the slot.
Here it goes again.
In line, just off the line here. Watch how the linebacker flies back to cover the slot receiver, leaving Finley open for a moment. But the right outside linebacker flies back. The safety crashes down. The cornerback comes over. Everyone goes to JerMichael Finley. He's triple covered when Rodgers throws that ball.
Well, let's talk about TJ Lang. Let's just go back.
No, wait.
Okay.
Let me finish this point a little bit. I know Mr. Video is anxious to get there. But
I am.
But Rodgers has got to work his progressions like systematically, methodically. A lot of people worry about Rodgers zeroing in on Finley, and that's a real worry. That's a very real thing. People, you know, they want to dismiss, oh, Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl MVP, amazing run in the playoffs. Yes, he's an amazing quarterback. He's unbelievable. He did all of that without Jermichael Finley.
Yeah.
It's a very real
concern. Not only that, just stop for a second. Not only did he do that, he did that in the playoffs.
Oh, dear.
On the road.
Here we go, people.
Okay. Let's just take a moment.
This is like the beginning of a Corey rant.
No, seriously. Just take a moment and think about that for a second. You know why I can think about that?
Why is that?
Because I actually was at every game and saw him take it to the house without Jermichael Finley on the road to the Super Bowl.
Corey's a little pumped up right now, as you can probably tell. So, yes, there's that. So, yes, let's go back to TJ and Lang. Please, show the video. Show Lang 1, I think, is what it's called.
Yep.
Well, this is from the preseason game. He blocks off 71. Let it roll again when it's done. It's a very simple block, but he steps out, gets on 71, and perfect. Wonderful. But now play Lang 2. Now, this is a little more problematic. You'll see Lang fly out and get to the second level, and lay with the linebacker. This is where Lang struggles, and he has ever since he came into the NFL. He's great on the line of scrimmage. Once he gets to the second level, it's an issue. But that's something that can be coached and drilled and do what it's got to do. But you can see he gets flat-footed there, and the guy just literally olays him.
You ready for three?
And goes and makes the tackle. Hit me with three. This is the blitz pickup issue from the game. Roll that again. I have this on the highest authority. There was a lot of consternation among Packer fans. This is the strip sack on Graham Harrell, where T.J. Lang and D.J. Williams block the same man, while two other Cleveland Browns fly back outside of them and sack Harrell, pick up a fumble, and return it for a touchdown. I have it on the highest authority that D.J. Williams completely screwed this up. Lang blocks down, hits his man. D.J. Williams apparently takes a guy who's already blocked and negates, totally forgets about the other two guys.
Nice.
But this is why you have preseason games.
That's what the preseason is for.
And D.J. Williams.
That's why it doesn't matter. Jersey Al.
He's a natural talent.
I had to do that.
At the tight end position. He's a Finley light. I have no doubt. Not no doubt, but I am pretty sure he makes this team. But
dude,
that tight
we got some tight ends now. Seriously.
They could be employed as H-backs. They could be employed as fullbacks. They can be employed as tight ends. They could be employed as wide receivers.
Let's talk about...
It's crazy.
Tom Crabtree.
Love me some Tom Crabtree.
Come on now.
Love me some Tom Crabtree. Tom Crabtree, if you don't know, he's an underrated receiver. I wrote about this earlier in the week. A lot of people like to talk about him as, oh, he's a great blocking guy, or he's good in pass blocking, but he struggles in run blocking. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, people, you are totally underestimating his pass-catching ability.
It's true.
Check out my post about why the Packers could keep five tight ends. You'll see some video and some commentary about Tom's ability in the passing game. The man... He's a tight end. He's a good tight end.
My favorite thing about Tom Crabtree is during the ESPY Awards, when we were watching Tom Crabtree watching the ESPY Awards, is every time...
Oh,
it
dear.
Was great, dude.
Oh, dear.
It was like, hey, here's the superhighway of culture. Now, if you're a Packers fan, you can take the exit of Packers fan. And so when they did the intros every time on the Cheesehead TV, on this channel, he would show... his Super Bowl XLV ring. Like, is there any other option?
That's the hottest.
Dallas Mavericks.
Hello, where else in
Come
life?
On.
When you were growing up.
Come
like,
on.
The 70s and 80s.
Dude.
Could you imagine if, like, you know, or even the 90s. Like, you do imagine, like, Robert Brooks showing off his Super Bowl ring while
dude.
He was watching the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Or watching ESPN or watching whatever.
No.
I really can't.
No.
I really. We're getting a
Sorry.
Call. We're getting a call.
Uh-oh, don't take
up.
It.
Should I not take it? We should take a break, and then we'll take this call. And then we'll talk about some more. We'll talk about the defense. We'll talk about a bunch of other things. On the flip side, here at Packer Transplants Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with a special surprise guest for you all Packer fans live on the line. It's a world champion. It's Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. How are you tonight, Tom?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I am
well.
I am well.
You! Come on, now!
Corey is very excited, if you couldn't tell.
You know me, Tom. Come on.
Woo! Oh, yeah. You're the hype man.
So, Tom, tell us, how's your off-season been? I mean, good Lord, you went through a lockout, and then all of a sudden you were, like, thrown into camp, and now you've got camp done and you're ready for your second preseason game. How are things going?
Oh, it's been crazy. It all happened so fast. It was like, we were wondering if and when football was going to come back, and it did, and now here we are, like you said, week two of the preseason, and it definitely snuck up on us, but it's going well. I'm glad to be back. I think everybody's pumped to be back.
Were you surprised at Mike's big change in the schedule? I mean, a lot has been made about getting you guys in the afternoon heat and whatnot, but I got to imagine that's kind of a brutal undertaking. You guys are up at like 6 in the morning for meetings, and then you're meeting all day, and then you're having meals, and then you're out for practice at night, and you're back in the dorms at like whatever time late. Were you surprised that he switched it up?
Not really. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. I figured he was just going to do what he thought was best for the team, and I think at the moment, those first couple weeks of camp, that's kind of what we needed to do, and that was kind of the best way to maximize our meeting time and then hit the field with all that information fresh on our minds. So, the night practices, that was a pretty grueling couple of weeks. You get off the field, by the time you got out of the stadium, it was, 10 o'clock or later, and then we had bed check over at St. Norbert at 11 o'clock. So it was pretty brutal.
So you guys are out of the dorms now, right?
Tonight is our last night. Oh, I'm going over there. Yeah, I'm going over there in like an hour. Spend some time with Tim Maste, my roommate. Spend a quality final night together, and then I'm back home. So
very nice. Has there been? I mean, obviously, we don't want you to give away any state secrets. Okay, yes,
no,
we do,
no.
But we don't expect you to give away any state secrets. No. But has there been anything? Has Mike, given you guys anything new? Have you been surprised by anything, or has it kind of just been
tight end?
Here's a lot of the offense that you're already familiar with, and just keep going.
I was really shocked. We got in there the first week, and talking about me playing quarterback and all. I was really shocked. It was a lot of pressure at first, and but it's going pretty well. I'm
breaking news.
I'm adjusting. I'm adapting to my new position. So. I can't complain.
That's fantastic. All right, getting serious for a moment. Taking our medicine here at Cheesehead TV, which is what we do on occasion. Obviously, you've heard, read/known about the talk, but there's a lot of tight ends on this here team. Well, they drafted
a lot of talented tight ends. Best tight end group in the league.
I totally agree.
I would agree with that.
I totally agree.
Definitely.
How do you go about, your daily, you're going out there, you're competing with these guys, but obviously you're fighting with these guys for a roster spot. Does that affect the way you deal with these guys at all? I mean, obviously, I fully expect the cliched answer that you guys all get along great and you're all learning from each other, but I'm hoping for a kernel of something else.
Well, I guess the one thing I can give you that's great about being with this group is we all kind of have something different to offer, and we all kind of have our own set of skills, and in that way, I think it helps. We all kind of rub off on each other, and we're only you know, we're only making each other better each day. You know, kind of, I guess what I'm trying to say is just learning from each other, and whether I can give some blocking tips to somebody or someone, you know, give me some tips running routes or whatever, it's kind of helping us all out, I think.
Do you get a sense that Mike might be going to a bit more of the H-back, you know, splitting guys wide? I mean, it's just really interesting to me that they brought, you know, they have all these talented tight ends in camp, and you guys are, like, you know, spreading guys out. You guys are standing up. You're in the backfield. You're online.
Right.
Has that been talked about at all, or is it just kind of business as usual?
No, it's just I think business as usual, and, you know, when you have a talented group like we have at tight end, and we're all big athletic guys that can do a little bit of everything. I think the coaches see that, and they want to find as many ways to get us on the field as they can.
And what's it like working with Ben McAdoo? I mean, all I hear about with this guy is what a great coach he is, how obsessive he is about detail. What's he like to work with?
I mean, what you've heard is true. I mean, he's a great coach to have. He, you know, he's definitely helped me get to where I am right now. He, you know, he really stresses the details, whether it's route running or blocking. And he just, you know, I don't know how to exactly describe it to you, but he just, I guess, adapts to each different player and kind of has his own way of getting his point across you know, just helping, trying to make us better each day.
Well, Tom Crabtree, world champion Green Bay Packers tight end.
I wish you could see the ring right now.
I know.
I should have had the picture, Tom. It's my fault. I should have had the picture.
What's that?
I should have had the picture of you showing the ring during the ESPYs. That was my favorite part of the ESPYs.
Oh, yeah.
You made the ESPYs for me. It's such a garbage award show.
For those of you who
made it,
but there may be viewers, listeners out there who are unaware, we had a program here at Cheesehead TV of Tom Crabtree watching the ESPYs since he was uninvited.
It was awesome.
It was very upsetting that he wasn't invited, but we here at Cheesehead TV had a live stream of Tom Crabtree watching the ESPYs.
Yeah, and it was awesome. I hope it was hopefully more entertaining than the award show itself.
Without question.
For me, it was.
Good.
And without question, one of our highest-rated programs ever here at Cheesehead TV.
It doesn't take much.
Doesn't take much at all.
But you're the man.
Tom, you're the absolute man. Thanks so much for calling us.
I appreciate it, guys, and looking forward to talking to you later this year.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tom Crabtree. Calling in randomly to Packer Transplants. That's what we do.
There you go.
That's what we do. Tom Crabtree says, I want to call in. We say, yo, call us in.
What's nice.
Up? We'll pick up the phone. Any Packer out there, hey, Brett Goode, you want to call?
Yep.
We're here.
There's a ring.
Aaron Rodgers, you want to call? You know, give us a
Aaron
call.
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
What's going on, bud?
What's going on, Aaron?
Why
Rodgers?
You gotta hate on Aaron Nagler, Aaron Rodgers?
No, well, he called me crazy Packer dude. I really can't get upset.
You are a crazy Packer dude.
I can't get upset about someone calling me a crazy Packer.
Let me
Packer
tell you
dude.
Who's crazier Packer dude.
You know who's a crazy Packer dude and who we need to call right now?
Who?
Is Brian Caribou.
Oh my goodness.
We can't have a show without Brian Caribou.
Can't handle it.
We gotta have, you know. We gotta have the special team sauce. Gotta have it.
Let's do it.
So let's call a little Brian Caribou right now. This is live, people. We'll do it live.
Is he gonna answer?
If I was Brian, I wouldn't answer.
Hello,
Brian Caribou. How are you, Brian?
What's up, guys?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Caribou live on the line here at Packer Transplants, getting ready to talk some special teams. Okay, Brian, no more excuses. He's got a returner. He's got a kicker. Sean Slocum, if his group doesn't perform this year, is it safe to say he's a dud as a coach?
I would think so. The good news is that I don't anticipate that happening unless injuries occur things are looking up with rookie Randall Cobb nailing down the return positions, at least the punt return. I guess the jury's still out on whether he's the kick returner or not, but I think he'll nail that down eventually if he hasn't already. And Tim Mastey is looking like one of the top punters in the NFL from all indications based upon what we've seen last year and the little bit we've seen this year so far. And, you know, come hell or high water, Mason Crosby's going to be the kicker for the next 5 years or at least until the Packers say goodbye. But, you know, for quite a while at least.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. He's been knocking them dead in practice by all accounts. So the new kickoff rule. What's your take? I know you're a college football guy. You follow the college game. I'm an avid Packer fan. We're back to where we were several years ago as far as the kickoffs go. Are you up in arms or are you like, eh?
Yeah, you know, I wish it wasn't the way it is right now. I like to see the returns, but you know what? It's hopefully I'm going to try to do a video on this. What's kind of surprised me, and I didn't really pick up on this until I saw some of these kickoffs in action here during the preseason, is that, you know, there's not going to be quite as many touchbacks, I don't think, as we anticipate. I suppose I'm going to explain this a lot better in a video where I might be able to have some graphics and show this. But, you know, the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. So what kickers are going to do is in order to kick that ball as far as they can, it's going to be in a straight line, not angled, right toward the goalpost to the back of the end zone. But when that happens, if they don't kick it out of the back of the end zone, the return men can run either to the right or to the left. And that's a little dangerous. They can return it either way, and the coverage units if they kick it to the left, coverage units can prepare to the left or vice versa. And,
right.
And so it's kind of a catch-22.
All right. That's, you know what, I can honestly say it. That's something I had not thought of. And that's why we bring on Brian Caribou.
It's true.
And speaking of Brian Caribou and all of his amazing endeavors, whether it be, any Wisconsin sport you can think of.
Maple Street Press.
The Maple Street Press, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out right here. I have it in my hands. Clay Matthews on the cover. There it is. Brian. Yeah, talk a little bit about the Maple Street Press and how it's doing, how it's going, what it's about. Talk to us.
Well, thank you very kindly, Aaron Nagler, for taking part in this venture and writing an article on pass protection in our X's and O's section. It's fantastic. But, no, if you don't have it yet, I think it's a great buy for any Packers fan out there. What it is, it's 112 pages, full color, 100% Packers content. Whereas you go to the magazine stand and you get an NFL preview magazine with 4 pages on it on the Packers and you come away disappointed. This magazine, 112 pages, all Packers and absolutely zero advertisements. If you're a Packers fan, you're going to love it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And what I love about it is that not only is it all Packers from cover to cover, but there's exclusive stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You got Chris Brown from Smart Football breaking down Dom Capers and the zone blitz. You've got an exclusive interview with Aaron Rodgers done by Jason Wilde. It's excellent, excellent stuff. Stuff that, okay, you're sitting out there, you're thinking, oh, I'm a diehard fan. I know it all. No, you don't. Not unless you have Maple Street Press, Packers Annual. That's all I'm saying. You're sitting there thinking, oh, I know it all. No, you don't. I'm telling you.
You don't.
You do not.
You don't. You don't.
Until you have the Maple Street Press.
It's true.
Okay, Brian, real quickly. It's prediction time because this is what we do.
That's right.
Here at Packer Transplants, we put you on the spot. Not that it really matters, but what's your prediction for Friday night?
I have no prediction for
Come on, Brian.
For a preseason
Caribou.
Game.
What?
40-0 Packers.
That's right there.
That is the correct answer.
You know, he likes to do that. He likes to say Packers in the preseason so he can go against them in the regular season. So then when, like, you know, the season rolls along, it's like he picks the Packers twice out of, like, you know, 16 games.
If we were a really good broadcast station, we would have Brian Caribou's stats for the last 45 video podcasts.
Now I have a job. Now I have a reason to live. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Caribou, you read him here at CheeseheadTV.com. Check out his work with the Maple Street Press Packers Annual, and I will not be remiss and say the Brewers Annual as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's all over the Brewers beat. Dude, he's all over the Packers beat.
Hey.
He's Mr. Wisconsin Sports.
And the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Come on.
The man is everywhere. He's Mr. Wisconsin Sports. Brian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, guys.
So after like 5 minutes of me praising the guy, he says, thanks, guys. That's it. That's all I got for him. That's his humble nature. We will puff him up ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Caribou is the freaking man. And that's all there is about that. So, we've talked to Michael Lombardi.
Yep.
We've talked to Tom Crabtree.
Yep.
And we've talked to Brian Caribou.
Yep.
Why would anyone stick around to hear what we have to say?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I never know.
And you are totally lost. Do you have like... Okay, wait. So here's Corey in a nutshell. He's looking at the monitor. He's looking at the camera. He's looking at his solo camera. He's looking at the Procaster. He's looking at his MacBook Pro there. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. His MacBook Pro also here. His iPad
and I'm trying to
there. Oh, wait. And there's a monitor over here.
And I'm trying to learn my shortcuts.
And there's a mixer here. It's ridiculous. Wait. He does all of this live for you, Packer fans. Live. Corey Banky is the freaking man.
It's exciting. I'm excited.
It is exciting. It is very exciting. Let's talk about the defense a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about the Packers
a
little bit.
Packers.
Because the problem with the show so far is it feels a little bit like green and gold today.
Because we're not talking about the Packers.
Exactly.
We're talking about ourselves. Come on now. No, that's not true. We've talked Packers. We've talked to Michael Lombardi. We've talked to Tom Crabtree. We've talked to some Packers. But let's talk some more Packers. We've already covered Jared Bush, so we won't go there. But I found this very interesting, and this is something that kind of flew under the radar a little bit. I've wanted to post about it. I still might. I haven't really got there yet, but I found this very interesting. Some comments from Desmond Bishop about the difference between getting the play calls in the defensive huddle from A.J. Hawk as opposed to Nick Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
And he intimated that, Bishop intimated that, you know, when Nick Barnett was in there, it was very much like, come on, guys, we got to stop him. And he was like very rah-rah as the team. If the team would march down the field, you could sense him getting, okay, I'm not going to say nervous, but you could sense him getting tense, tightened up. Whereas Bishop has said that with A.J. Hawk, it's like it doesn't matter if you're defending on their 5-yard line or your 15. A.J. Hawk is exactly the same. Like his demeanor, his play call, instructions. That's what you want.
Good.
That's the kind of thing that don't hear about.
That's actually really important from a live standpoint.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to do something and it has to happen at a particular space and time that everyone has agreed to and that's when it will start.
Not that he's speaking from professional experience.
Right? I'm just saying. Like it's true.
Hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very important moment in the season. That was our official first, I'm just saying, of the year. I'm impressed. Third segment of the first of the year.
Can I break the Dick Chang gong real quick?
Please.
Oh, I didn't break
Seriously.
It. That's the first time on the show.
We went through three segments before we got to it. I'm just saying. I think that's a record. I'm pretty sure. Someone will have to go scour the archives of Packer Transplants.
Nobody wants to.
But I'm pretty sure that's a record. Yeah. Getting three whole segments into the program almost at the end before our first.
That is kind of true.
I'm just saying.
It's really funny because
serious.
It's true.
You just pulled out an I'm just saying. Like, we had almost got through the whole show. Like, because my thing is always, seriously or really?
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to do that. So, but like the one crutch we both have is the I'm just saying. And you just went there. And I love it. And I love you.
You
and I love
the
Green Bay Packers. I love it.
Wow.
That's where we are.
And I'm moving to Chelsea. So that makes sense.
Oh, hey.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So the defense.
The defense.
So that's how we do it. We go off and there are a lot of new people here tonight, so I feel like I have to explain.
There was no Tremont.
Tell me about it. Tonight there was no Tremont.
Yeah.
We tried to get Tremont on the show tonight.
No.
It didn't happen.
But
we're
in preseason, like you can't talk about the defense unless you're talking about the defense.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing you can talk about.
No.
You can talk about individuals within the defense. Okay, here's the thing. Mike Neal has been injured yesterday, 2 days ago in camp. Went down yesterday with a knee. Mike McCarthy came out today and said he's day-to-day. Now, I don't think it's a complete catastrophe if Mike Neal goes down and he's lost for a significant amount of time. I have utmost faith in Dom Capers. We saw that last year. Hello, Mike Neal was on injured reserve. Colin Jenkins was injured for an extended period of time. Dom Capers made do. However,
there you
I
go.
Think Mike Neal...
Oh, yeah, wait. And he won the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, that's right.
However, I think Mike Neal is a formidable presence there at the defensive end spot. What's interesting is this flip-flop that Bob McGinn reported and then has been seen for a couple snaps anyway against the Cleveland Browns where they've put Ryan Pickett back at nose tackle. And they've put P.J. Raji at defensive end. Now, I know a lot of Packer fans have heard this news, have read this news, and gotten not upset but kind of nervous about the fact that, wait a second, didn't we move Raji inside because that was, quote, his natural position? I'm here to tell you that's not his natural position. A lot of teams coming out of the draft pegged Raji as a five technique, a three technique, defensive tackle, Raji. And a 4-3. And
Chicago.
Didn't think he was...
Chicago. Chicago.
Didn't think he was suited
Chicago.
To nose tackle.
Chicago. Chicago in the playoffs. Are you kidding?
So Corey Banky's a little excited about the playoff game in Chicago.
That's the beauty of winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, dear.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Nagler. Yeah.
Banky.
But can you do it
again? That's what it's all about, people. Got to do it again. And Dom Capers is trying to stay one step ahead. Just like Mike McCarthy with a no-huddle offense, trying to stay one step ahead. That's what it's all about. You got to stay one step ahead because now, as C.D. Angeli so poignantly pointed out,
yes.
If you haven't read it, read it now. CheeseheadTV.com. McCarthy is trying to keep the team in the mindset of being the hunter and not the hunted.
That's hard.
It's very hard.
That's actually one of the most difficult things.
You got a big, fat Super Bowl ring on your finger.
Yep.
You're visiting Obama in the White House.
You're fat. You're on the couch.
You're like, yo, this is it. I'm living the life.
I'm going to watch Housewives of New Jersey. I'm going to go to practice, and I'm going to punch in, and I'm going to punch out.
And there's no passion.
No.
There's no love.
You're not hungry.
You're not hungry.
And you know what?
You don't want it.
There's 31 other teams, and you beat those teams for the most part.
Well, except for the Miami Dolphins and the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
In overtime.
Yikes.
Here's the other thing. This team went 10-6 last year. The goals have got to start with winning at Lambeau, winning your division, winning playoff games in Lambeau.
Yeah.
And then winning the Super Bowl again.
NFC Championship in Lambeau! Redemption 2007!
Corey's a little pumped up. Now that we've blown everybody's ears out and staked our claim to the NFC Championship game in Lambeau, we'll probably bid you adieu. We thank you very much for joining us here this evening. We'd like to thank all our guests. Our scheduled and surprised.
Barty, Tom Crabtree.
Yeah, and Brian Caravu.
Brian Caravu.
That's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We try and bring you all sorts of viewpoints from all around the NFL. Big, big thanks to Michael Lombardi and Tom Crabtree and Brian Caravu and to everyone on the live blog tonight. Every one of you. You're what makes this experience special, unlike any other in the Packer blogosphere or in, you know, Packer fandom in general. We thank you so much for being here, for making us part of your Packer fandom. We will be here next week. We will not be here the following week. And then we'll start up again regularly once the regular season begins. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
But we'll see you here next
week.
Let's
do it.
Next Wednesday. Right here on GSET TV. See you next week.